Okay, after that, you should have room. What? Okay. We've had three people at different times acknowledge that David has been here. So we welcome him from the cloud of witnesses. So we're just going to get in, go right into it. If you're a visitor, somebody will say hey to you. And if you want a brochure, raise your hand real quick. The Love Feast is on the 21st at Pat's house. Yeah. Okay. Okay, y'all ready? Let's get in it. Because it's open. Okay. Again, this is a declaration over this house. Really the body of Christ, but because it's our house, we can decree it over our house. And if you're under our government, you can get right under it. So if you're not, you're kind of on your own out there. Find your government. Be at least under the government of God, okay? So we are under a reign of peace. And it's a good thing to be under that reign of peace, right? You felt a little bit of that tonight, okay? All right, now last time I spoke, we talked about going on to maturity, because that's what we as a body are about, okay? We're about going on to maturity and developing into mature sons, okay? Now, it says there that we should leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, and it says, let us go on to perfection, and that perfection here is basically back to our original state and condition. Okay, perfection, and we'll look at that realm in a little bit. There's a realm called perfection, okay, and we'll talk a little about the realms. But perfection there does mean maturity, but it also means to go back to your original state. Okay, now you do know your original state is not in Adam, right? What? It's not, okay? Now the church has hammered that into the religious system, because I'm going to stop calling what we're living in and have around us the church, because the church is not an ugly word. It's the bride of Christ. But the religious system that she's been and is in bondage to has told us that we originate in Adam. Okay? But there was a time before that, okay? We were in Adam's loins before he fell into sin. Okay, did you catch that? Okay, we were in his loins. Okay, now Abraham, now that we're going to talk a little bit about Melchizedek, it said that when Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, okay, the lesser always gives to the greater. Okay, and it said that back over in Hebrews, it talks about how the Levitical priesthood that was in Abraham through Aaron, the tribe with Aaron, also gave tithes to Melchizedek because they were in his loins. Okay, now that's a principle, because what we're learning to do is we're learning to engage with this realm called in the beginning. Okay, now I am way off track from what this is, okay? But we're going to stay here for a minute, because I'm going to frame it up, okay? We're just going to frame the stuff up, okay? We are understanding to totally walk as a manifested son. We're going to have to go back and dwell in that realm of in the beginning, okay? Okay, I know y'all said okay. Okay, just have that. Hold that in your heart, okay? Just learn to hold things in your heart. And we're going to be talking about the heart tonight, okay? Now, don't let it get heavy, okay? Don't let that get heavy, because I'm not going to address issues. That's between you and God, okay? I'm going to give you the mechanics of how things work in the realm of the Spirit, okay? And you can use them or not. All right, now our purpose, we need to have a, do y'all know what, keeping something in your heart, in your conscience, do you know what I mean by that? It's what you think about, okay? Now most of us, will leave tonight and not think about one thing that will be said tonight all week. Okay, you know it's true, because if I asked you what was taught on last week, who would know? Who knows? Okay, got two. No, last week. Three, four, five, six. Okay, it was about the heart. Okay, now what showed up last week? It was only a week ago, come on. The burning ones came with flaming swords. Okay? Anybody engage with that this week? I'm not spanking you. Okay? I'm not spanking you. I'm trying to help you. Okay? Because the things of glory in the realms that we're trying, not trying, the things that we're in pursuit of is going to take more than sitting here on Saturday night thinking about it while somebody's talking about it, okay? It's going to have to get planted in your heart and it become conscious so that your heart is seeking and pursuing things, okay? Now, everybody's busy. Who in here is not busy? Okay? Okay.
I want you to know that I got those things going. I'm getting all the things. I finished one, and I have begun to see the reality of the greater death and intercession.
No, okay. 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 All right. One out of 25 in here. Okay. So being busy cannot be an excuse. Okay. It just can't be. It has to shift in us to where the things we say we want, we begin to give intention and attention to them. Okay? Because it's not just going to happen. Okay? It just doesn't work that way. Okay? At best, we get a dream while we're sleeping. You know, that's a good thing, a dream while you're sleeping. All right, so as sons, this is what we are, okay? We are a new species and a new race on the earth. Okay, just let it soak in. Just let it soak in. You're a new race and a new species. You are not who they say you are, and you are not who you see in the mirror every morning. Okay? Some of us need to stop looking in that mirror because we over-identify with it, okay? And we need to behold him and get that reflection, okay? So as sons, basically the objective of sonship is that we are bringing heaven into the earth and bringing order back into the earth, okay? Now that will manifest in everybody's life differently. Some of you, it will manifest through your job. Some of you, it will manifest through your hobby. It will manifest in all different ways. But the big picture of it all is we are gates releasing heaven into the earth. Okay? And we have to be intentional about it. Alal, Virginia talked about it. I'm not going to hang there. So let's go into... Okay, Alal. Is a lull. It's a lull. It's a lull. Okay? It's just where you're supposed to pause, go into this place of a lull. Reason with God, evaluate your life, repent, and get in alignment. Okay? And whatever area of your life that's not in alignment, it will show up again. Because he's faithful like that. Okay? All those cycles that you go through, last year this happened, and the year before that, that happened, and it keeps on happening. Okay? I want to help you. It's not going to go away until that era of your life comes under the government of God. Okay? That's what we're learning to do. It's a time to frame up what we want for next year. All right, now we're going to talk about the heart. And the key verse will be Proverbs 4:23. And this is basically, I don't want to say use the word command, because we get all, you know, get weird about commands, because, you know, we don't want to make God out to be, you know, this taskmaster. But he does tell us to do some things. And one of them is to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay? Now, we have been talking about this maturation process, okay, for at least 8 weeks, if this is number 8. Okay? Because we have to, let's see if I can find my little, wrong one. This one. Okay, I had to find my little light thing. Each of these points on this little arrow are ages, are steps of development. Okay? Now, there's not just one and then another one. There's lots of little ones along this path. Okay? So as a young child, what are you supposed to know? Okay, it's right there. You should be able to get it this week. Okay, know your sins are forgiven, and know the Father in his heart towards you, okay? Okay, that's 101, okay? If you think you're going to go, if you're doing spiritual warfare and you don't have that down, you're going to get jacked. You're going to get attacked. I'm getting attacked. That's why, right there. Up, go back. Okay, now that's why. Okay? If you live in an ascended place in the realms of glory, you won't get attacked. Okay? But most of us are trying to operate here without getting this. Okay? Now, there's no shame in any of it. We can't get under condemnation about it. There are areas in my life where I'm still very much a young child in. Okay? I got no shame about that. That I need to sit in the lap of my dad, and I need to receive from him where he can change those places and heal those places in me. Okay? We can't have shame about that. Okay? We all have that. There are places in all of us that have a little child part in us. Okay? So don't worry about it. We're just going to keep moving through it. Now, a young man, overcome your what? Personal adversary. Okay? Now, how many of you know what your personal adversary is? That's a good thing to know. Otherwise, you're like, the Bible says you're like boxing in the air. No, okay? It's not hard to figure out, okay? If it's that cycle that comes around in your life, okay, that's a part of your adversary, okay? If you always trip up over a truth about God and his love for you, that could be your adversary, okay? It can be generational things. Okay? Now, all of this is done, taken care of, through our intimate relationship with Yeshua and our Father. Okay? We cannot ever go into function without that intimacy. Okay? So the next thing is going to be fathers. What's that say right there? Can you read it? From in the beginning. Okay? You will hear more and more about that. Because there is a realm called in the beginning. Okay? And fathers have to go there. As part of stepping into being a father and a king. Okay? Now, what's our purpose? Okay? Do we need to go back? Let me go back. What's our purpose? Come on, guys, let's talk. Talk, that's it. You're not going to get in it by just absorbing. Engage with this stuff. Engage, open, your heart's supposed to be open, and engage with this, okay? So what is our purpose? Okay, being a gate and releasing heaven into earth, okay? So if I will almost, I don't want to make a promise because I can't make things happen. But if we, I believe if we consciously have that purpose in our heart in the forefront, we will begin to engage things. Okay? But it's got to be in our heart. Okay, we'll find that out. Okay, so we're going to move along to the government of God. Now this verse, right now it's probably one of my favorite verses. And what it says is, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder," not an S there, shoulder, I got to figure that out, "and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Okay. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Okay? So all those out there that are saying, you know, the world's going to come to hell in a handbag, okay? That's not what that says. If sons take their place, that doesn't have to happen. Now, there will be a time of great tribulation, I believe, in the earth. Okay? And we're not going to get off into rapture and all that stuff, because we don't really believe in the rapture. I don't. I just can't say we. I don't. Sean doesn't. Virginia? No, she doesn't. She thought about it for a while. Heavily indoctrinated. Okay, and it says, "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom." Do you realize he's coming to visit us? Three different people at three different times have said, "Wow, you're not going to believe this. David was here. I saw him. He was like right in my face." One guy who said nothing like that had ever happened to him before. He was like, "Man, I got to tell you this. David showed up right there. He was happy. He was dancing around. He was really excited and engaging." Okay? And then it says that this, his kingdom does two things. Okay? This is how you can know what areas of your life are under the government of God. There will be order, and it will be established, and there will be peace there. Okay? If your areas of your life are in chaos, I would encourage you to invite the government of God into that place. Okay? It says, "From that time forward," what time? You know what that time's talking about? In the beginning. From that time forward, right now, into today, and forever. Okay? That is the was, the is, and the is to come. Okay? "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, when it uses that phrase, Lord of hosts, what's that talking about? What kind of term is that? Does anybody know? It's a military term. Okay? Do what? Angels. Host. Okay? Host. Okay, he's the Lord of the host of heaven. That is a military thing. So who's going to perform this? The Lord of hosts. His zeal. The Lord's zeal will do this. Okay? So guess what that does? Takes all the pressure off. Okay? Because we're not under the works of the law anymore. He will perform it. All right, now we talked about laboring into rest, and we just have to keep hammering things. Okay? Now, statistically, you have to hear something 7 or 8 times before it begins to stick. Okay? That's just typically what happens. If you write while you're listening, it's less. Because you're engaging more than just your ears. Okay? You're engaging your hand, and you create different little synapses in your brain so you can get to them quicker. All right, now, we have to labor into rest. Now, why do we have to do that? Because our flesh and self wants to be in control. Ooh, it got quiet. Okay? our flesh and self want to be in control. Okay, that's just the reality. Okay, now every night, now I'm just going to be honest with y'all guys, because I'm having a lull, it's going to be fun. Okay, about 9 o'clock at night, I get the snack attack.
It ain't my fault.
No. Sean can do it. Sean can do that. Okay, it's not good for me. It's not good for me. But guess what? Snack attack comes, and I yield to my flesh that wants chips and salsa. Okay, now we can broaden this out. How broad y'all want to get with this? Okay? It can be a TV show. It can be a video game. It can be anything where your flesh says, I want what I want right now. I want it, and I'm going to get it. Okay? That's why it's hard to enter into rest. Okay, to enter into rest, there are some things that we have to do right here. We have to acknowledge Christ as being preeminent in our life. Not that he's preeminent over creation. He's preeminent in my life. He gets top billing in my life. Okay, everything else is subservient to that. Okay, then I have to know who I really, really am. And I have to know this, not in my brain, but in my heart. Okay? Lots of people know lots of things, but that doesn't transform us. The heart is what transforms us. And then I have to submit to the government of God, which is basically me saying, here's control of my life. I'm surrendering to you, and I'm going to follow you. And I'm under his government. Then, when I do that, I get to cease from my own works. So once I'm in Christ resting, which is that next place right there, I enter into his rest in him, because I'm not trying to prove anything to myself or to God. I don't have to do anything to receive and to be okay with him. Because under his government, there's a law called the law of righteousness. Do you know what that is? It's a law that says when we're born again, that we come under the law of righteousness and that we are free from the law of sin. Okay? Now, what that law of righteousness does for us is it makes us righteous before God. The law of righteousness, makes me righteous before God, not my good works. Okay? So I don't have to do brownie points. I don't have to read my Bible, 15 times in the day. Or I don't have to do all these things to make myself feel righteous and okay with God. Because I live under his government, and one of the laws in his government says that I have been given the righteousness of Christ. Okay, now if that isn't liberating, I'm not sure what would be. Okay? All right, now there's this thing down here. We need to really hone into that. Submission, when we come into submission to Christ and his government, we are granted authority to overcome things in our life. Okay, we've been trained to think that I submit to God and then I work really hard to overcome something. And when I overcome it, I have authority over it. Okay, there's just a slight problem with that. It's works of the law. So we have to learn to move out of the place of submission in our authority and then overcome through the authority that we gain through submission. Okay? Now that's all sorts of ways that can manifest in your world. Okay? Now the one that's just easy to cover, the Bible says we are to submit one to another. We're not even going to talk about your job, your boss, your roommate, none of that. We submit one to another. Okay? We learn to submit one to another. That doesn't mean we are in abusive situations and that kind of stuff. It means I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do as Christ wants me to do with you, whether you return that to me or not. If you're waiting to give honor, it's like, okay, I'll respect and honor my husband when he does me. It's not how it works. Okay? Or your boss or someone you're close to. Okay? We give it because that's who we are. I want to honor people because that's who I am. Okay? So remember, the next time you're in a situation where you need to maybe just submit one to another. Okay, our seat of rest is found in Christ through submission. Now again, the kingdom is about government ruling and administrating heaven on the earth. We have got to shift out of a slavery, religious, victim mindset. Okay? How many of you have told you're to be a servant? Y'all been told that? I've been told that. Okay, that's not wrong. It's just not complete. Because when I serve, I'm learning submission and authority. Okay? So serving isn't wrong, it's just incomplete. We have to go beyond that. Okay? Our origin and our source is in heaven. It is not from heaven. Okay? Because we are programmed to have heaven come and give us stuff. Jesus, come down. Jesus, I need this. Jesus, I need that. Will you bring that? It's all about bringing. Okay? Now, if you are a baby, and that's not derogatory, then he's going to do that for you. But if you're maturing and you're in that stage of maturing, you know what he says? You need to get up here. Come up here. Come up here because it's all up here in heaven. And we're learning how to go up. And I'm not sure we're grasping yet even how to bring it back yet. Okay? So the part of that mindset has to switch. Gimme, 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 God. Gimme, 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 God. Okay? Now, if you're a newborn Christian or you're in the young child developmental stage, he's going to do that. Okay? No, that's no shame in that, no condemnation. Okay? But as you're maturing, he's going to require some things. Okay? Got to have a whole new way of thinking and functioning. All right, government of God. I'm going to go over this one more time, and then we're going to move on in. All right, the government of God. We come under the government of God. The Prince of Peace then sits over our life. He mentors us in the ways of God through relationship, and we have our seat of rest. And that, having the seat of rest, begins to rule over our public life, our personal life, and our private life. Okay? Now, your public life is the life everybody sees. Okay, it's the one at your work that everybody sees. Okay, the personal life is people that are close to you. Okay, that see you. Now, guess who sees more of the real you? Your public life or personal? Personal, okay? Then there's this thing called your private life. You know what that is? Your life that nobody sees. It's the you when you're laying in your bed at night. And all the things that you may wrestle with. Okay? So we have to realize this is primarily the most important part. It's your private life. John Paul does a huge teaching on that. That's a seat of rest, daily prayer. We'll get back to that. Now we're going to talk about the heart for a second. And I'm hoping I can tie it all together because it all came today. You know, I was at home all week trying to engage with Melchizedek and deal with the order of Melchizedek. And it just wasn't there. You know, I mean, it just wasn't there. That's all I got to say. It just wasn't there. And so today I wake up and he's like, we're going to talk about the heart. I was like, okay. And I think Sean opened the door last week a little bit for that. Okay, now the word heart is found 832 times in Scripture. I don't know if you know that. That's a lot. Okay, because the word soul is only found 321 times. So based on that alone, what does God give more emphasis to? Heart. Okay? Now the heart, this is my definition. Okay? Because I'll explain more as I go. To me, the heart is a multidimensional organ that is the connecting chamber of the realms of heaven and glory, and it's also the connecting chamber of the spirit, soul, and body. Okay, now I'm still in process of really, it's not called fleshing out, but in the process of really digging into that. Because when you study the body, it has a heart, right? Okay, so we know it manifests in the heart, in the body. Now in the soul, in some of the functions that, if you read all those 832 scriptures, you find out the heart does a lot of different things. And some of those we could categorize as mind, will, and emotion. And then there's others that you would equate to something the spirit part of us would do, which would be your conscience, communion, and intuition. So it's like the heart manifests and functions all of those different ways. Okay, so I think that we have a heart, and I think it's connected. But I also believe, and we'll get to the diagram, that it is the chamber that gets us into the realms of glory. Okay? Now, the heart has the capacity to create, to think, to feel, to perceive, and to know. Okay? Now, there are different types of hearts. There can be a broken heart, a hard heart, a stony heart, a tender heart, a pliable heart, and a strong heart. Okay, those are all the manifestations of the characteristics that our heart can take on. Okay, is this too heavy? Y'all getting quiet? Okay, you're getting quiet on me. Because see, when we start talking about this right here, a broken heart, I am fully aware that what we talk about comes up, okay? So don't get all wigged out, okay? Because most of us do not have a properly functioning heart, okay? It has some levels of having stony pieces in there. There's hardness that can come over our heart, and it can be just flat out broken, okay? I've had a broken heart. I'm on the mend 12 years later, I think. 12 years later. Okay? It's taken 12 years for my heart to not be broken. Okay, so I don't make light of a broken heart. It almost literally physically killed me. It's how cancer invaded my body. It came through that gate of a broken heart. It got my kidneys. It's messed up my body. Okay? Now I believe that all of that is being restored. Okay? I don't doubt that at all. But I am saying that if we don't learn to at least acknowledge the condition of our heart, we're going to have a difficult time moving into sonship. Okay? All right, now, learning to keep our hearts. Matthew 13, I'm not going to get into it because pretty much everyone, once I say it, it's about the heart and the seeds that fall in the heart. And there's different fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold, that comes because of the condition of our heart. Now, it says in the first condition of the heart, it says that when anyone hears, it's verse 19 right here, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, now it doesn't say the gospel there. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, how many can say, I'm not sure I understand this stuff? Y'all better raise y'all's hands, because I'm up here teaching you and I'm raising my hand. All right, it says, and when that happens, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. Okay? So guess what's going to happen when you walk out those doors? If you don't keep your heart and you don't keep the kingdom, the word of the kingdom in your heart, bye-bye. It's going to get snatched. It's right there. It's what it says. Okay? This is the one who receives seed by the wayside. Okay? And then it talks about the seed that falls on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. You got the woohoo! Okay? I mean, just yeah! But you know what it says? Yet he has no root in himself, and it only endures for a little while. Do you know what that means? He has no root in himself. That's the brokenness in us. The tree of life is not being formed in us. Proverbs talks about when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when it is fulfilled, it becomes a tree of life to us. Okay? So some of the things that we're talking about with the heart is that the tree of life being formed in us, where we learn to eat from that life. Okay? Yeah, it may be up here. You can Google it, or not Google, whatever you do. Bible program, whatever. Google it. That's the answer to everything. Just Google it. No more Google. No more Google? All right. Now, this is the next one. Okay, this one hurts, because one, it's talking about thorns, but this one hurts. It says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Okay? We have to sit in a position of lordship over our life, so that the things that we're wanting to walk into, the things we say we want, get higher on the priority list. Okay? And now, who's not busy? But you're not, okay? She's not, okay? But everybody's busy. Everyone has the cares of the world breathing down on them. Okay, I've made a pact with God, and I say this just because I'm framing things. I've told the Lord, if I wake up, whatever time, once I go to sleep, whatever time I wake up, I'm staying up. Whatever time. Okay, that's what's been on my heart. If I'm up, I might as well stay up. That's my thing. If I'm up, I might as well stay up. Now, what I usually do, okay, my typical nights, I stay up till 3 or 4, okay? And if I don't stay up till 3 or 4, I get up at 3 or 4. Just kind of how it works for me, okay? And I'm not putting that yoke on anybody, so don't take it as a yoke. That's something I've purposed in my heart because I'm busy too. And if Ian's right, we don't need sleep. Talks about rest, not sleep. Rest, not sleep. Now that one hurts sometimes. OK? Okay? But then it says, but he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Okay? Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. Okay? So just examine. Allow Father to examine your heart. Just allow him to do that. Okay? All right, now, we need to understand how faith works in our life. Okay? Now, we've heard the scripture, and I didn't put it up here, unless it's on the next one. Yep, it is. We'll do this one first. The currency of heaven is faith. Okay? Romans 10:17 says this. The words in parentheses are what the word by means. Okay? Then faith comes by. That word there originates in hearing. Okay? Faith comes, it originates by hearing, and by hearing through the channel of the word, rhema of God. Okay? Now, what organ is that hears? It's the heart. You have to hear with your heart. Okay? If you only hear with this, it goes in here, and nothing shifts. Okay? It's got to get into the heart. Now, it doesn't... Now, this is the way we think sometimes. We hear it. It goes through our brain, and it drops into our heart. How many of y'all been told that? Been told that? Yeah, most people have. But you know what happens? God breathes it into our heart. Then it goes into our mind, transforms our mind, and comes out of our mouth. Okay? So we've got that shift that we've got to make, even in understanding how things are functioning now. All right, now we're going to go back to this one. Now, the rhema is the creative, living voice of God, is what that is. It's the living breath of God in us. Okay? Now, what's cool about this, and sometimes I practice this. Y'all probably, if I'm weird, I don't care. Sometimes I go back to in the beginning, and I stand there, and I stand in front of Father, the Creator, and He breathes into me. Just like it says in the Bible. And I breathe that in, and this is what I release. Abba. I breathe in him, the breath that he breathes into me, and then what I release out is Abba, Father. Okay? Practice it. Try it. Okay, because we're wanting to encounter our Father. We need to encounter our Father. Okay, so the rhema, which is the living voice of God, we hear it in our heart, not our physical ears or mind, and that living creative substance comes into us, which is faith. Okay, now we have been under the programming and the conditioning that it's all about our faith. Work your faith, grow your faith, plow your faith, whatever you're going to do just to get what you want from God, you got to have more faith, more faith, more faith, more faith. Okay? Well, what we're doing now is we're shifting into receiving faith that is a gift from God. It is the faith of God. We're going to learn to move by the faith of God, not the faith in God. Okay, those are a few little words that tweak there, but they really do make all the difference. Faith is a living substance in the spirit realm that gives life. So much life it creates. It is the substance, the voice of God spoken into me. And when I speak, it's that same voice that comes out. And we're going to talk about that as we understand the oracle part of Melchizedek. Because it's not our voice. It's not our sound. It's His in us. All right, the rhema voice plus the heart that hears. Okay, now what's been placed into our heart? Eternity. Okay, so where do we go looking for? You know, we always talk about, you know, we all go looking for something somewhere out there. Guess where it is? Right there. You don't got to go nowhere. You just got to make sure the veil of your heart is open. Okay, and that's what produces faith. We need an open, tender heart, which is the soil, to receive, which is here, the rhema seed of God, so that we can begin functioning out of faith and not out of just knowledge, really. Okay, now believing, there is a believing part to faith, okay? But the believing part deals primarily with our mind and emotions, which is the soul realm coming into alignment with the government of God and what God has said. Okay, that's what believing is. We choose to believe. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, a person whose heart and mind are not in agreement. Because see, you have the gift of God in you. If you're born again, you have the gift of God in you. And that voice that comes with that is constantly going to be speaking truth to you. But your brain, mind, which is part of that brain is just a computer, but the brain of your soul, your mind, has to come into agreement with what the truth of that voice is saying to you. Okay? Am I making sense? Okay. Enough sense to where you can think about it in a half hour? Okay. Okay, it's a lot here, so just breathe deep, okay? All right, now we're going to get into some truth, desire, hope, and faith, okay? Now, I've had a broken heart. I can acknowledge that, okay? Ooh, I'm going to get teary. It's all good. I got no shame about it, okay? Okay, if you've had a broken heart, you're going to have to deal with disappointment. Okay, you just are going to have to deal with disappointment. Because part of operating in the realm of the faith of God, we have to have this thing right here functioning. And it's called desire. Now, I'm speaking from the point that you have surrendered to God and that you're saying you are coming under His government, receiving the desires He placed in your heart when He formed you. Okay, those are the desires I'm talking about. Okay, those desires are given by God. It's Proverbs 13:12, Heidi. When fulfilled, they become a tree of life for us. Okay, now if you have had disappointment in your life or if you've had a broken heart, it's going to be hard to engage with desire again. Because we don't want to be disappointed again. It's easier. I mean, it's just really easier. Okay, and from desire, what happens with desire, it opens your heart to receive hope. See, hope isn't an emotion. Hope is a substance that God gives us. I can remember, and I remember going to Sean and Virginia's house, telling Virginia, and I don't know if Sean was there, that for the first time, and this was what, maybe four or five years ago, that I remember I had this little bit of light about that big of hope in my heart. After 10, 15 years of no hope. Okay, and that I protected it. I guarded that thing because I knew if it goes out, I'm not sure I can recover. I'm just not sure I can do it again. because that's how devastating things were. I just don't know if I could do it again. And so I guarded my heart. I had that hope, and the hope began to give way to faith. Because both hope and faith are spiritual substances. They're not emotions. Hope is not an emotion. If your hope is an emotion, you're going to go into disappointment. But if it's hope in Christ, then it will produce faith. And when faith has its end, it materializes in the natural. Okay? It's not all out there. The end of faith, the end result of faith, is it manifests in the earth realm. Okay? So y'all understand that part? Because tonight we're going to do ministry, and you may need to deal with some of this. Because your heart can't function correctly. See, it's about the heart. Because after faith, it leads you back into greater truth. And if you're not, if we don't get to this faith of God, we kind of get stuck. You know, and we're just kind of running in a I'm busy, I'm doing a lot. Man, nothing's changing. Same old, same old. Same cycle. Same bat channel. Same bat time, same bat channel. Okay? Now, our spirit man is not our heart. Okay? Just clear that up. I'm not going to stay there long. We have been given a new heart and a new spirit at salvation. You have a new one. It's different. Oh, frogs. It is different. They're saying amen. Did y'all hear them? They're saying amen, amen, amen. Okay? Y'all didn't hear them? Y'all better learn to listen to creation. It talks. Y'all think I'm crazy. It talks. Creation bears witness. Okay? All right. The heart that we've been given and the spirit we've been given is different than the previous one. Okay? Before we had a dead, separated from God's spirit and a heart of stone because we were under the law. Okay? Galatians 4, 6 and 7 says this right here. Because you were sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts. What's the result of that? We cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, intimacy. Okay, that's what a new heart and a new spirit will compel you to seek, is intimacy. Okay, you strengthen your spirit man by eating the word and praying in tongues. Okay, we want a healthy body, right? I want a healthy body. Y'all want a healthy body? Okay, you want a healthy soul? Okay, you want a healthy spirit? You want a healthy heart? Okay, that's our objective. Okay, to get a healthy spirit, we're going to have to eat the word and pray in tongues. It's what the Bible says. Okay? Nobody raise their hand, nobody say anything. But how much were you in the word this past week? They don't know answer. We're not going to answer. We're not answering. No, raise your hand, no nothing. But you need to answer that question. How much was I in the Word? How much did I hear my Father speaking to me? Because the Word just isn't the Bible. The Word is Yeshua, fellowship. Okay? And then how much did you pray in the Spirit? Okay? And you can say, well, that sounds like a work or religious. No, it's the Bible. He tells us the same way you go to a doctor or a nutritionist to tell you what's good for you to eat, right? Okay, is that religious? We don't get bent out of shape about that. But somebody tell you to read your word and pray in tongues? Well, that's a work. You're telling me to work now. No, that's a religious spirit that doesn't want to do those things, is what that is. It's a familiar spirit talking to you. Because you'll go read 15 articles on what to eat for breakfast if you're on the ketone diet. I mean, it's true. We ain't got to be afraid of the truth. All right, now, Sean brought this up last week, and I just wasn't here last week. I was so disconnected. You know, he said it, and I didn't catch it until today. I'm like, well, dang, Sean just said that. Okay, because I remembered. Okay, the law of first mention. He said that last week, didn't you? Or did I dream it? Okay. Okay, law of first mention. Okay, we find what the law of first mention is go to the first place it's used in the scripture. That sets the precedent of how it plays itself out in the rest of the word. Okay? Now, Genesis 6:5 is the first time heart is mentioned. And also, it's talked about how they had a wicked heart, evil heart. Every thought they had was evil, blah, blah, blah. And God repented for making man. Okay, that's the first time heart is mentioned. Okay, now, that word, when you look it up in the Old Testament concordance, thingamabobby, whatever those are, Strong's or whoever, Greek, Briggs, Meyer, whoever, not Briggs, Meyer, that's a counselor thing. There's another one. There are other things. I don't always have my words together, as they will well vouch for me. I make up my own most of the time. And so the Hebrew letter is Lamed. Lamed? Huh? Lamed. Okay, Lamed. Okay, I'm from the South. I'm from South Hebrew. Okay. Okay, it's Lamed. And also, that is a letter also, and it's the word is, I think it's L-E-B, something like L-E-B, okay, Leb. They all sound the same to me, but they're not. Okay, the interesting part of this is it's the 12th letter. It has a numeric value of 30. The pictograph is a shepherd's staff. Okay, that's really important considering Melchizedek. And it represents the King of Kings because this is the only Hebrew letter, like there's a line that they all kind of, you know how we write letter when we, back in school where we actually had to write and learn how to write? You know, it had those capital letter lines and the little lines, you know, the little baby letter lines. Okay, Hebrew has something similar to that. And this Lamed is the only letter that rises above what? Did I do something? He didn't write the little baby lines. Okay. So Lamed is the only one that comes above that. It's the only one that sticks out above. Now that's pretty important. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is because every one of these things right here is a gateway into a mystery. Okay? There's a gateway there to go into one of the mysteries of God. All right, now, what? 30, you became a priest. There's lots of things in there. I think Pat sent something today. Paula had sent something. And all these things are starting to come together to give kind of just agreement with what we're doing. So they're kind of bringing us that we're on track. But what I encourage you to do is to learn to embrace the mystery. Okay? A mystery is not this secret thing hidden for just certain people. Okay? That's what the New Age, that's what Kabbalah teaches, that there are all these things hidden away and only a select few get them, okay? A mystery is simply something that you don't know yet. That's all it is, okay? Now, God hides mysteries for us, not from us, okay? Now, why does he hide them for us? What kind of training is it? King. It's kingship training. The scripture says that God hides things, mysteries, and it's a king that will search it out. Okay? So So that's part of your kingship training. Now, I heard a teaching, I don't know if someone told me this, I think I heard the teaching also, is that we all have at least three Hebrew letters with us. Is that you? Okay. I'm going to get my hair cut. And so Pat says, hey, do you know, I heard blah, blah, blah. Somebody said, we each have three Hebrew letters with us. Okay. Now, I don't blow that stuff off. So you know what I've been doing? Where's my Hebrew letters? Which one is it? Which one is it? Where are they? Where are they? I'm looking. Where are they? Over here. Nope, nope, it's not that one. Nope, not that one. See, if I got three, I want to know who they are. Because they've come to equip me for my destiny. And the more I engage with them, the more my destiny opens up. See, I know how this thing works. Okay? So I have run into two of them. Got two. I'm looking for the third one. And I was doing that looking like this, but you know where I'm looking? In my heart. Looking in my heart. But I'm searching my heart. See, we can do that. I'm not running around looking at, he's not over there. That's not what I'm talking about. That was an illustration. What I'm doing is I'm searching my heart to see what manifests. That's how we discover things, as we search them out in our heart. Okay? Now, all these scriptures right there, see all the ones in yellow? All those right there, there's some there, some there, some there, some there, some there, some there. All those. All those talk about what the heart does. Okay, thinks, feels, all that kind of stuff. Okay, if you want that, I think I found it. It's on one of my computer programs. Okay, so that's a lot, and there's scripture that back all that up. Okay, do y'all remember us looking at the realms? Are y'all tired yet? Okay, if you're tired, we'll go. We'll stop. Y'all want to keep going? Okay, we're going to keep going. Okay. All right, we've looked at this a little bit. Now, right here, we're going to talk about, where do we start? Okay, we got the different kingdoms right here. Kingdom of earth, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens, perfection, eternity. All right, now, time and space is a part of the kingdom of the earth realm. It's also light and darkness dwells here, and also in the kingdom of God. Okay, those two realms right there, light and darkness, are in the same place. Okay. Do you know how they're in the same place? They're dimensions, but the soul and body, our soul is in the process of being restored. So because of that, it can have places of darkness and highways and byways for things to traffic through. Then there's the kingdom of heaven here, that where primarily our spirit man sits, and it's a